Hello and welcome to Rainbow Shaman. I am Annette Lachmann and this is my podcast for shaman journeying.
Hello and welcome to Rainbow Shaman, the podcast for shaman journeying by Annette Lachmann. This is Anna Janikov and I have the pleasure to interview Annette Lachmann. Hello Annette.
Hi Anna.
Well, today we want to talk about the power and the effects of shaman journeying. And Annette, on this podcast, you have given us insights into shaman journeying. But since you are presenting the journeys for all listeners, also the ones you don't know, I suppose there is a difference to a guided journey to one specific person. Can you tell me a little bit about this?
Yes. When I do journeys for many people, this means I have to consider there are people who have never done a journey or people who have been journeying a lot with me or other people. And the basic task for me is to hold the space for everybody when I do these journeys, to not be too into healing of a specific person and not addressing to your needs. For example, if I would do a journey for you, I would go into your energy field and I know what you need and I would do the journey specifically for your needs, for what needs to be healed, for what needs to go. And if I do these, let's say, more general journeys, I try to, we call it track, the collective need. What is needed right now in the group that might be listening? So it's funny because that you're saying this, but I'm kind of looking for an issue for my journey, which is interesting for many people. Let's say, for example, at the moment, there's a lot of fear because of Corona, a lot of fear of existence. There are some fears we share, maybe, like not knowing what will happen, having to give up control. So I would address, for example, to an issue to cleanse your body of your individual, let's say, shadows, your individual fears, your individual pain. So while I do the journey, everybody has the chance, because I always allow moments where you individually can let go of certain personal issues without me knowing what they are. Because I am just allowing the space for this cleansing, for the cleaning of these heavy energies to happen.
And you mentioned the tracking. How can I imagine? Is this something like channeling, or is it like, do you let yourself guide by your intuition? Do you see pictures? Can you tell me something about this skill of tracking?
Yes, tracking for us is like the word tracking means, like the trackers of these native Indians, for example, that track animals, where they walk, where they find the water. So they just track the traces of animals. And that's what the word comes from. I'm tracking, not of course the animals, I can track animals too, but I track what is needed. And then I have images in my head. That's how I perceive the world, with images or sensations. And if I have an affinity to something, let's say this, there's a fear because of social distancing, for example. People feel alone. And when I go into this thought, I allow images to appear in my head. And I see, for example, women that feel excluded because they're not allowed to go to a certain place. I see men that they cannot really meet in their normal ways because they have all these restrictions. So many people have this feeling of helplessness, of being restricted. So when I have this image in my head and I allow these images to influence the way I do my journey.
Mm-hmm. And since you since you're mentioning the images and you basically work with these images, from my research, I know that in the shaman belief system, the world that we are basically journeying to is considered as a real one, just as real as this one. Some people say it's a different dimension. Some people might say that we actually just enter our subconsciousness. I'm interested in how do you perceive this?
Well, it was very interesting, that subject, because when I was in Iceland last time, I have a very good friend, a seer, and she explained to me something which helped me so much to express this exact topic. People ask me, how do you see it? That's because it's my filters. It's always my filters, because we can only express what we have experienced or heard of or dreamt of in our own filters. So when I say something, let's say, I'm journeying to a cave, and then I see the cave, there are crystals in there, or there I see the water coming out of the rock. And then I see this, absolutely, I see the image as if it were a real image. And for me, it is a real image, because maybe I have seen it, I have dreamt of it, and I know exactly how it looks like. But maybe if you hear this, you would see suddenly your crystals are not clear or blue, they might be green or yellow or gold, and this little creek is maybe a bigger one. And it doesn't matter, because it really is about what you make of the essence, and the image what you create in your head then might be different than mine, and it doesn't matter, because I can only express in my ways. Like when I say we're flying on a dragon, or we're flying on the eagle, and then I tell you, you stretch out your arms and you lie on the wings of the eagle, then I can see you in my mind doing this, exactly this, the little feathers tickling your face. I see it like this. And you might even feel it. That's why many people tell me they can totally feel when I say the little feathers are tickling your face. Or if you ride an otorongo and I describe it, I can see you in my head grabbing onto this fur of the otorongo, which is the jaguar, and I can see it. And many people see, they have the feeling, they can touch it, they know it, they can even feel the warm body, because I think I like describing what I see. In my head, it's a totally real image, word. So I don't make any difference if it's in my head or if I see it outside. Sometimes I see much better with my eyes closed, for example.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And still there are some people who have doubts while they're journeying, and they wonder, or they ask themselves, if the pictures that they see are made up and it's just a product of their fantasy. So how do you suggest to deal with these doubts? Is it okay to just follow your fantasy and go into it and accept it? Or is there a trick where you can ask, yourself something? Or how do you suggest this?
Of course, there are people, constantly have people that they say, I cannot see this, I don't know whether it's real. But then I ask you, is it really important if it's real or not real for you? It doesn't make any difference if you can feel it. Even if you cannot see, there are people who cannot see, they just feel it. And that's fine too, because we all have a different way of perceiving the world. Some people, their perception is visual. Others, they hear things, they don't see anything, they just hear it in their head, or they smell it even. Some people just know it. They just have this feeling and they just know that's for them it's true. And I see it maybe. So it doesn't really matter. So when people have doubts, I have the funny example I always liked from Alberto Violdo was when people say you cannot see, okay, well, you read books, don't you? So just remember you read the book about the prince coming to rescue the beautiful princess. What color is the horse? And then guess what? All these students, you hear brown, you hear black, you hear white, you hear golden. It's amazing what people say suddenly. So most people just don't know that they can see. Mm-hmm. Because when you read a book, well, don't you have an image of what you read?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I like this picture. Thank you. And now while you're journeying, it's, I would consider it also a kind of trance that, that you can fall into. Can you tell me if you, do you see a parallel to hypnosis here, or differently asked, how is shaman journeying different than hypnosis?
Well, I think they have a lot in common. It's like in hypnosis, you can anytime step out of it. Because I think that many people think when you go under hypnosis, which I did before, it's actually not that if I don't want to, you cannot make me. And the same with the journey. If you don't want to go onto this journey, there's no way that you will go into the journey. It's like if I force you to read a book, I cannot force you to read a book. You want to read it. And then if you come with this open heart and you really allow yourself to go into the journey, to really be the one being on journey, that's when you go into this kind of trance yourself, because then you're indulged. It's like when you read a book and you're so fascinated by the book, and then someone rings the bell and you didn't even hear it, and then someone talks to you and you say, sorry, I didn't get you. It's the same with journeying. You just really allow yourself to merge into the story.
Yeah, so you're guiding, and basically we are going on a journey and we keep our will, power of will.
All the time. I'm not manipulating.
Good to know, good. Now, I mentioned before this individual journey. So if you know a topic of a person and you would guide somebody into a journey, what are the different options? Can you maybe give me an example?
Okay, for example, I can give you a good example. I have several clients. Some clients, for example, they're very sick. Like, we don't say we heal cancer, for example. Of course, I could never say this, but we accompany the whole process, for example, with journeying, by helping the client to see a perspective, whatever perspective this is. So I recently have also a client who has the fear of dying, maybe he has family. And then what do you do on a journey? You give him a perspective to see himself where he's standing in 5 years, being with his children, for example, in a place where he wants to go. For example, I always wanted to go to, let's say, Scotland, because I was dreaming to show my children the monster of Loch Ness. So in this journey, I would take him there. So he is already there, standing there with his children, watching the lake, waiting for the monster to appear, and seeing his children laugh. His child maybe now being 10, then will be 15.
Mm-hmm.
And with this image, he's already calling in his future. So allowing him to make a shift. But I cannot do the shift for him. I can only, I do of course other things with this client too, but I do, among other things, a journey like this, giving him a perspective to call in his future.
Mm-hmm. So this, can one say that this personal journey is always just a little bit more powerful, let's say it, because it's individually?
Yes, because it's always embedded, the journey, with a personal healing. A personal cleansing, because when I work one-to-one or with a smaller group also, I also do this in smaller groups, I am tracking, as I said before, every person. And if it's a group of 10 people, I'm tracking the energy of the whole group, but still individually going from one person to the other during the cleansing and healing moments. So it is, I would say, more powerful, but you would have to ask my clients how they feel the difference between a big event like a Zoom healing, which is intense, or a private one, because this is then a personal one for personal wounds, where I can address to and support in a different way.
Well, just from my experiences, I have been a client of yours. I had the pleasure. I can tell that it's very, very powerful. So, but another question, because you have offered a journey to find your power animal before. And everybody might have heard of a totem or a power animal. But can you maybe tell us, for the ones that have not read so much about this, what does it mean? What is a power animal actually? what kind of purpose does it have in your life, or what is it actually?
Well, I can only speak for myself, because you have so many interpretations of power animals and what they do, and then some people draw the cards, and for them that's exactly the power animal they want. For me, when I do these power animal journeys also for myself, it's like I'm looking for, let's say, a hidden instinct, animal instinct inside of me, what I need in this moment. So you have very curious animals sometimes coming to you, where you think, why do I see that animal? What on earth am I supposed to do with a hedgehog, for example?
Mm-hmm.
I don't question these things anymore. Can you imagine? I had this really huge man, and we did this journey, and then I saw this hedgehog. I brought it back, and I hardly knew how to tell him that I brought him a hedgehog, because he was expecting a big bear or whatever, something really powerful, and then I said a hedgehog. But then when I told him, you have a hedgehog, and he said, at last, that's exactly what I needed, because I have the feeling I cannot protect myself against all the people around me. And I love how the hedgehog is just rolling up and has all the stingers and no one can touch it. It's exactly what I needed. So, and since that moment, whatever animal I see when I'm going in the underworld for clients to get a power animal, I do it sometimes for clients. But it's, and then what I realized then, it's much more important for me now that the client also sees it. So I usually allow, I find it more helpful that the client, when we go down, finds his own power animal. Usually we have the same, which is really funny, but I like the client to see what is coming. That's why I did the power animal journey like I did. So like, if you look around and suddenly between all the animals you see the one, and then you find out what the aspect of the animal can help you with. Sometimes you need something, if you have a squirrel, it stands mm-hmm. for, then you find out what is the quality of a squirrel. A squirrel can run down up fast the tree, come down again. It can provide. There's a lot of qualities you need to find out. You can go into conversation with your power animal.
Yeah, I understand exactly what you mean. And for me, it basically means that the power animal can provide us or help us with, you know, its specific strengths that it has. And in trance, especially, you have a possibility to feel it, not only to know it intellectually.
Absolutely. And that's why you usually, when you get the power animal, before coming back into your normal world, you ask it, what is your gift? What is the quality you can help me in my process? For example, I use power animals a lot in sessions to provide my client with some sort of support in the process of, let's say you're in the process of letting go after a divorce or after losing someone, and then you feel alone. And having a power animal, very often it's like you have a companion for a while. Usually they stay only for a while until the process is done, and then maybe it's time for another power animal. The difference between a power animal, a soul power animal, is a soul power animal stays with you for a longer time. And then the power animals you have for a certain process, then suddenly you don't think about them anymore, then they go.
Mm-hmm. And how can I be sure that it's actually the animal that I'm meeting, let's say in trance, is, because I heard people before asking this, is the right one? You know, do you have a suggestion how to deal with this? Is just the one you see the right one, or what do you suggest?
Well, we have a saying, the first impression is usually the accurate one. So whatever you see first, as I said before, I saw the hedgehog and I was actually thinking maybe I should look for something else. But I don't. I trust my first instinct, because we don't think. If we start thinking, we create a story. If we just react on our first impulse, it's what our soul shows us right away. And then we find out later what's it all about.
Okay, yeah, and can you also tell me how you can use, or let's say integrate, your power animal in everyday life? Is it about just traveling, you know, regularly or journeying regularly, or do you work with this yourself also in everyday life?
That depends. For example, if you're in an, let's say, in a process, or you just had a session, or you have thought about something you want to change, power animals can help you change, because with their qualities they support your own will, because you usually want to have a power animal when you want to change something in your life. And this is like a mirror for you. It's something with a power which is inside of you. You have that already. It's the instinct what you have, and you want to bring it up from the subconscious to the conscious. That's how I see it. Like, for example, if you feel so unprotected that the people might hurt you, you're afraid to go outside, and then you suddenly have, let's say, a jaguar. So imagine you have the jaguar at your side. It's inside of you and it can be outside of you. So you feel suddenly more, let's say, safer. And you project to the outside world that you're not afraid anymore, because in your mind, they don't know this, you have that jaguar next to you. So when the people perceive you as not being the victim, being scared for whatever reason, they don't even know, they don't treat you as a victim, because they respect you in a different way, because you radiate the quality of the jaguar, of the protective or of the strength or whatever you need from that power animal. You can project it to the outside world, and that's how then the world perceives you.
Mm-hmm. No? And can you also tell me if you, for example, give something back to your power animal? How is it important that you keep, you know, a neutralizing relationship with your power animal?
Absolutely. The gratitude, the honoring of it. And I actually am like in a dialogue sometimes. It's like when I do my meditations and I give some energy or some love or some thank you to my power animal for being with me. And sometimes people, I mean, I hear stories like when they have a, last week I had a client who had an eagle, and he said he saw the eagle suddenly flying over him, and it was for him a sign that he needed to connect again to his power animal. And he just sat there, just made a little kind of offering in the middle of this little path he was walking on. And while he was doing this, he felt suddenly so connected to the eagle, because he, with his gratitude for what he has achieved, could say thank you to the eagle. And it was like he was saying goodbye to the eagle.
Mm-hmm. That's nice. Yeah, and I can imagine that especially in these times, people can actually really need a little support, you know, in these unstable times. So how can one contact you for a personal journey? Is it also, does it also work online? And what are the best ways to contact you?
Yes, of course, you can do this journeying also online.
The tracking works online as well?
The tracking works totally online. Great. I have a lot of clients. I give a lot of sessions. I mean, like all my other shaman friends and who work, they do online now, right now, because there's nothing else for many people to do. That works completely. So you can just contact me, like on my webpage. You find my contact details and you could contact me for a personal journey.
And just write to you?
Yes, just write me an email and then I will...
You answer them.
Of course, okay. I will answer them.
That's good to know. Okay, now today you have prepared a new journey for us. I'm excited to listen to it. And can you tell us a little bit about this? What kind of journey do we have today?
Today I was thinking, because I got some requests, because I asked people can also write to me if they have a special topic they really would like to. And I will answer today to a journey for calming down. People say they have a lot of problems of sleeping and of falling asleep with their mind being so busy and the questions in the head. So I will just do a little journey for calming down. And it doesn't matter when you fall asleep there, because the intention said that whenever you wake up, you will be fully back in your body. So for people not to be afraid that they fall asleep and then they will be in trance. No, this is like a journey for falling asleep and then at whatever, waking up maybe next morning or not, It's just a little help.
Okay, but you can use it for falling asleep, yes?
You can use it falling asleep. I mean, many people are heard fall asleep when they hear the journey and then they're so angry because they didn't get it. This time, it doesn't really matter.
Okay, you have the allowance to fall asleep. Yes. That's nice. I'm looking forward to it very much. Thank you very much for this, for answering my questions. And yeah, looking forward to the journey and to talking to you next time.
Thank you, Anna.
Thank you.